Hello, my name's Attentive Grandpa from the Mighty Archives. Do I really have to raise that? Okay. That's www.themightyarchives.com. All right. So you're listening to a podcast of what we're calling it Simon's Tale, read by Daniel Bold. And for more from the Mighty Archives, including illustrations and video, visit themightyarchives.com. Okay, anyway, here we go. Chapter 1, This Darkness. Simon, son of Rahas and Laza, was big for his age at every age. He was a hefty baby, a formidable toddler, an impressive adolescent, and an intimidating teenager. By the time Simon was 15, he stood a full head taller than his father, with bushy, vibrant fur, strong teeth, and keen eyes, and he would have been the pride of the lion tribe, if not for one small detail. Simon's face was terribly scarred. The scratches Rahas had noticed on his newborn baby did not fade away as he had hoped they would. Instead, they grew right along with Simon, slowly cutting deeper into his face over time, like three patient streams digging their way into the earth. When he was first born, Simon's parents worried about his health, but their baby didn't seem to notice his disfigurement, even as the scars slowly darkened and spread, narrowly avoiding his left eye. As for the other adults of the tribe, they whispered in secret about the scarred cub, but Simon's scars were never spoken of in public, perhaps out of respect for Rahas, or for fear of what Simon would become. From day one, there was no doubt that Simon was going to be a big lion. Growing up, the other cubs largely ignored Simon, not because of his size, but because largely he ignored them. When the other cubs were too young to know what scars were, they spent their time play fighting and wrestling, while Simon wandered off alone to dig holes and look at bugs. As they got older, the other cubs spent their time developing their roars and their stalking skills, while Simon wandered off alone to watch birds build their nests or to explore the lion's large village. And by the time Simon's peers were completely absorbed with preening their fur and polishing their teeth, Simon's attention was torn between the horizon to the east and the massive wall that bordered the lion village to the west. "This land is cursed," Rahas shouted above the murmur of the crowd. Simon, 15, sat beside his mother with one long arm draped over her. They were part of a circle of lions surrounding his father. All attention was fixed on Rahas. "But there is one thing that can lift us out of this darkness." The crowd cheered, and Simon hugged his mother a little tighter. "There is one thing that scares the shadows that haunt us, and it must be protected." Rahas's voice trailed off, and the din died down to a whisper. Then, with a flourish, he spun and pointed into the crowd. Simon shivered. "Are you ready to protect your tribe?" The east side of the circle parted, and a lion, only a little bit older than Simon, stepped out into the center. He walked in the old style, on all fours, and held his chest out in front of himself proudly. Rahas fell onto his front legs and patted softly to the initiate. He whispered something in his ear, and the young lion nodded solemnly. Rahas pulled back and stared at him coldly, holding the initiate's gaze for almost a minute. Simon's heart thumped against his ribs. "He is ready," Rahas shouted, and the crowd let loose their roars and began digging their claws through the dry ground, churning up clouds of yellow dust. Before long, it was impossible to see farther than a few feet, and the dust made it difficult to breathe. This wasn't Simon's favorite part of the ceremony, but he appreciated the spectacle. When the dust finally settled, the young initiate was left alone at the center of the circle, Rahas having taken his place with the Council of Elders beneath the wall. The roars of the crowd escalated, and a few of the lions in the front row began to gnash their teeth and rake their claws through the air as if they were ravaging some invisible beast. It was terrifying, and Simon was glad to be close to the elders, where things were a little more reserved. The initiate was clearly nervous and began to pace back and forth anxiously. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, four tar-covered lions lunged into the circle, shrieking and spitting like rabid boars. Without breaking stride, they pounced on the initiate, sending up clouds of dust, their blackened claws bared. This brought more roars from the crowd, but Simon found himself drifting off in thought. The young lion at the center of the circle fought off the mock shadows impressively, but Simon didn't see it. He saw a few birds circling and wondered if they were watching the spectacle in the circle. He saw one of the elders yawn, which made him smile. As the sun fell behind the wall, he looked back at the huge structure and wondered, hardly for the first time, what lay on the other side. Simon and his mother walked slowly home from the initiation ceremony together. Rojas would be busy with the victorious initiate and the Council of Elders for a few hours, so they took their time. Simon was still lost in thought, puzzling on the wall his father had helped build, the ceremony of initiation, and on other, less important things like bugs, trees, and dreams. His mother nudged him slightly to wake him from his reverie. "Azel did very well, don't you think?" she asked, and Simon blinked down at her. "Who?" Simon asked. "Azel, the initiate, your father's new guard." "Oh, right." Simon wasn't very good with names. "Yes, he looked strong." They walked on in silence for a bit, Laza, Simon's mother, smiling to herself. They passed by long rows of huts and some slightly larger shacks, all built from rough wood and savanna grass. Most of the tribe had been at the ceremony and were just returning to their homes for dinner or a late afternoon nap. A few lions were already on their front porches, lounging in the setting sun, and Laza waved to a couple she knew well. "That will be you in a year or so," she said, trying to sound casual. "Will you be able to defeat the shadows?" She tried to make the question sound ominous, then reached over and poked Simon in the ribs, where she knew he was especially ticklish. "Hey!" Simon called, and bent over to protect himself, which was a funny sight since he was easily twice her size. Simon turned his head and looked back at the wall behind them. It was visible from everywhere in the village, as it stood almost 50 feet tall and dwarfed the single-story shacks and huts that made up Lion City. Would he be ready for his initiation? He knew the four lions Rojas used to act as shadows in the ceremony. They came over for dinner regularly, and Simon couldn't imagine fighting them. When he thought of those four, all he could imagine was what they had to go through to wash off all that black tar they were forced to wear. The four of them complained about it through most of their meals together. Simon chuckled. "What's so funny?" Laza asked. "Nothing," Simon replied. "So you're not afraid?" Simon turned back to look where they were going. He shook his head. No, he wasn't afraid of fighting those four lions, even though Simon had never fought anyone in his life and was actually extremely clumsy. The truth was that Simon wasn't afraid of anything that you could see and touch. Water made him extremely uncomfortable, of course, as it did all lions, but he wasn't actually afraid of it. No, the only thing that scared Simon were those things that you couldn't see. Dreams and imaginings, the darkness that Rojas was always talking about in his speeches, and of course, the shadows, whatever they were. Four tar-covered lions didn't compare to the potential terror of an actual shadow. "Nothing scares me," Simon cheered, and nudged his mom playfully, almost knocking her over. She caught herself before she tripped into another matronly lioness on her way home from the ceremony, who glared at them. Laza ignored her and smiled up at her son. He shrunk back, embarrassed. He really didn't know his own strength. "I'm sorry," he murmured. "That's all right, little mouse," Laza said, using the nickname that always made Simon feel better. She took his elbow and squeezed his thick arm gently. "Let's take a nap before going to the graveyard, all right?" "All right," Simon said. "That sounds good." But Simon knew he wouldn't be able to sleep. It was one more way he was different from the rest of his tribe. Simon didn't sleep unless he absolutely had to. They passed by a few lions who had the same idea as Laza, with parents and cubs already dozing on their west-facing porches, before arriving back at their own simple home. Laza found her perched on the porch and was asleep before Simon made it through the front door. He went to his room and sat on his grass mat to stare out the window toward the savanna to the east. It wasn't that Simon didn't like sleeping. It was more that he didn't like dreaming, because it was in dreams that the shadows who haunted the lion tribe came to life for Simon. Oily black, slithering creatures, huge and hungry, vicious and without mercy. That was the way he imagined them in dreams, and they scared Simon to his bones. After an hour's catnap, Laza went to fetch Simon from his room and found him staring out his window, as usual. "Ready to go?" she asked, and Simon lumbered to his feet. His left leg had gone numb. "Any good dreams?" Laza asked, leading them through the front room and outdoors into the dusk. "I didn't sleep," Simon said, stretching out his long arms towards the dark purple sky. The night was cool and the open air felt good. His room had become too small for him, and he often felt cramped indoors. "Did you?" he asked. Laza purred. She was a powerful dreamer and had predicted two droughts just in Simon's lifetime by interpreting the images she saw while sleeping. "I dreamt of a crooked tree in the lands to the west, covered with ants." "Does it mean something?" Simon asked, mussing the fur around his neck and behind his ears. Laza looked up at her son, frowned, and motioned for him to bend down. He rolled his eyes, but did as she asked. No, Laza said, gently combing the fur on Simon's face flat with her claws. She ignored the hair around his scars. It was too wiry to be straightened. Just a dream, just a dream. They set out towards the graveyard. After a 20-minute walk, Simon and Laza arrived where a small group had assembled to hear Raha speak. While the initiation ceremony was attended by almost every lion in the tribe, the graveyard speech didn't attract much of a crowd. The young lion, who Simon now knew to be Azel, stood with his own parents next to Rahas, and the council of six elders stood to the left. Otherwise, the crowd consisted of a few other community leaders, some of Azel's friends, Simon and Laza, and a class of young cubs who were forced to be there for school. Simon couldn't imagine why more lions didn't attend the graveyard speech. It was his favorite part of the proceedings.
"The wall to our north," Rahas began, "is perhaps our tribe's greatest achievement, but it is only the beginning. It is only the means to an end."
Azel was glowing, although Simon noticed that his face was badly bruised, and he was wearing 5 or 6 blood-soaked bandages.
"It is a means to grow," Rahas continued, "to move forward and to be done with a part of our history that plagues us. It is a means to excel and to leave this behind us."
Rahas turned and motioned toward the lands behind him, lands most lions referred to as the graveyard. Simon avoided looking. Every time he heard his father give this speech, Simon would get distracted by the graveyard. It was easily the most fascinating feature of the lion's land. Centuries old, it stretched for miles along the northern coast and was filled with building after building, each one a fallen ruin of wood and stone. Simon thought they must have been impressive structures in their time, but not one had stood for longer than a few months, the work of the shadows. But Simon couldn't think on that. He wanted to hear the rest of his father's speech.
"Azel, you have reached the proper age and have proven yourself in battle. You are ready to stand with your brothers and sisters behind the wall and to protect our greatest endeavor. Thanks to you and others like you, we will never again fall prey to the shadows who feed on our ambition. Soon we will be rid of this darkness."
Once again, Rahas turned to the graveyard, and this time Simon couldn't help it. He looked, and before long he was lost in thought. Out in that wilderness of destruction, Simon didn't see failure or anything like a plague. When Simon looked across the graveyard, he saw possibilities. He saw places to explore and relics to unearth. But more than that, he saw a strange purpose, or perhaps a pattern. Simon had never seen a shadow, but looking out into the graveyard, he could clearly see that they were up to something. Because of them, the lions hadn't attempted to build anything above a shack since Simon was born. All their resources had been focused on the wall and whatever was behind it. And in that time, no one had seen a single shadow. Simon would never have said anything to his father, but he suspected that protecting their tribe had less to do with the wall than with understanding those ancient ruins. The next day was Saturday. Simon didn't have school, and he woke up inspired. His dreams had been strange, but not bad or scary, and there was a wondrous smell coming from the front of the house. He shot out of bed, resolved to return to the graveyard for some serious exploration. The real trick was to get out of the house before his father woke up. Simon clambered out into the front room, nearly bumping his head on the wooden door frame before falling onto all fours. Their home was a little larger than most lions, with 3 rooms, but the ceilings were still too short for Simon. He found his mother standing over the fire pit with another lioness. She looked vaguely familiar. Laza looked up as Simon walked in. "Good morning, little mouse. Do you remember Nancy, Azel's mother?" Simon headed straight for the pit. He couldn't help it. Whatever Laza was cooking smelled amazing. He lifted a paw to Nancy. "Good morning," he said. Nancy nodded and purred, but avoided looking directly at Simon. "Nancy brought over a boar that Azel and his father caught. Isn't that nice? Your father will be thrilled." Laza beamed over at Nancy. Simon peered in over the coals and saw a small brown boar roasting on a spit in the heat. It looked delicious. "Do you like to hunt, Simon?" the lioness asked politely, adjusting one of the long beaded necklaces she was wearing. Simon turned away, distracted by the door to his parents' room. The smell would rouse his father, and Simon really wanted to get out of the house before that happened. There had been some tensions of late, surrounding Simon's wanderings and solitary explorations. "Sorry, what?" he asked. "Simon's an explorer," Laza responded for him. "Oh," Nancy said, dropping her beads and peering out the window. "Well, that's nice. Like your grandfather, I suppose." Simon perked up at the mention of his pappy. "Did you know him?" he asked, turning his full attention to Nancy. She looked back surprised, and was able to meet his gaze, but only for a second, before going back to her beads. "Well," she said quietly, in a tone of voice Simon couldn't quite place. "I knew of him." "Oh, this looks so good, Nancy," Laza chimed in, drawing everyone's attention back to the boar. Pellets of fat were dripping into the coals and sending up tiny plumes of sweet-smelling steam. Simon shifted in place and looked over his shoulder again for his father. Nancy's discomfort with him was hardly disconcerting or unusual. The other lions of the tribe generally didn't look at Simon unless they had to, which suited him just fine. His stomach growled. "When will it be done?" Simon asked, and Laza chuckled. "Hungry, little mouse?" She reached over the fire and roughly straightened one of the boar's arms, then sliced it smoothly off with one of her sharp claws. "Here you go, Simon." "Thank you," he said, and resisted hunkering down to eat right there. "I'm going to take this to go, all right?" Laza turned to him and smiled. Standing on all fours, Simon's face was at her eye level. She reached over and stroked his cheek with the back of her paw. Simon shivered as she touched his scars. They were strangely sensitive. "Your father was hoping you'd go to the wall with him today, I know. How does that sound?" Simon dropped his head a bit, and Laza went back to turning the spit. "You don't have to if you don't want to." Simon looked up at Nancy, perhaps hoping a stranger's presence could somehow change the discussion, but she seemed suddenly mesmerized by the spinning boar. Simon sighed as a heavy ball of guilt settled into his stomach. He would have loved to spend the day with his father, but going to the wall really just meant standing at the outer gate with the outer guards. Simon wasn't allowed behind the wall with his father. It wouldn't be until he was older and had proved himself. "Oh, I know Azel is really excited to go," Nancy chirped. She looked briefly out the window again and then turned to Laza. "And I really should be heading home, dear, to see him off on his first big day. You'll give Rajas my regards." Laza turned to Nancy and rested a paw on her arm. "Of course, and thank you so much for this." She shot a quick glance at Simon, who had shrunken onto his haunches and was turning the boar leg in his hands compulsively. "But you shouldn't have to walk alone. Simon, why don't you walk Nancy home?" Simon sat up and his eyes brightened. "Really? Of course," he said and almost jumped for the door. He reached out to take Nancy's paw like she was a cub. "Let's go." "Oh, no, that's not necessary," Nancy said, drawing back. "Really, I'm fine." "Don't be absurd," Laza said, gently pushing her to the door. "Simon doesn't mind." "Nope," Simon cheered and took Nancy's hand. He pulled her through the door onto the porch just as a sleepy-eyed Rajas emerged from his room. "Bye, Mom. Good morning, Dad." Simon pulled Nancy across the low-growing yard, a little roughly, cringing as Rajas's muffled voice sounded from the house. "Where's Simon going?" They made it to the road, and Nancy broke Simon's grip with a twist of her arm. "Excuse me," she growled, and stormed past him, headed west. "Oh, I'm sorry," Simon began, and tripped as he moved to follow her. "Here, do you want some boar?" Nancy turned to scowl back at him. "Initzat," she hissed under her breath, quickening her pace and aggressively smoothing her simple dress. Simon slowed to a stop. The lioness didn't want to be walked home. Not by Simon, he knew. He looked at the still hot food in his paw, but his appetite was gone. It was an old word, initzat, but Simon had heard it before. Roughly translated, it meant freak.